The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
It's been a busy one already, and we had Joe Lunardi on, Cole Kublik, Tim May joining us shortly, and the head coach at the University of Arkansas, Eric Musselman, a serious candidate for SEC Coach of the Year. He'll be with us about an hour from now. More of your phone calls as well at 855-242-7285. It's been quite a week on the program, and we thought for a second we'd go back and excerpt some of the very top comments. We begin with a very detailed conversation earlier in the week with Ross Bjork of Texas A&M.
Recruiting is the lifeblood of any program. And so if you're not able to have families and young men and women visit your campus and look coaches in the eye and talk to our academic people and see all the great things that are on all of our campuses, we're really doing a disservice to those young people, let alone our programs. And so my point, my frustration is we've heard of kick the can down the road. Paul, the can is at the end of the driveway. Like, we can't kick it any further. And so to further delay without any clarity on what happens, it's one thing to delay to May 31st, but what happens on June 1st? Where's the plan? Where's the clarity? And so that's really where we need to get to, and those conversations need to happen.
Ross Bjork joining us earlier from Texas A&M. We also had Jack Swarbrick on. He is the Vice Chancellor and Director of Athletics at Notre Dame.
I think when the Alabamas, the Georgias, the Notre Dames, the USCs, whoever they are, get in periods where they're really good, I think that's great for college athletics. What we can't have is the sense of other schools that they can't make it in. And we've got to make sure that opportunity is real and schools feel like they can get there. So eventually an expanded playoff will hopefully create that greater opportunity.
Our last conversation from the weekend review came from Dara Torres, just an amazing person who was an incredible All-American at the University of Florida, went on to one of the most storied Olympic careers of all time. We talked to her the other day from her home in California.
The biggest piece of advice I give is don't be afraid to talk about it. I think I was so ashamed that I had it. I don't know how many people actually knew in college. I think probably my roommate knew and stuff, but I don't think a lot of people knew that I had this problem in college. And if I had spoken up about it, you know, at the beginning, at the get-go, or at some point during my college career, I could have gotten help quicker. And I realized as I got older that people aren't ashamed of you. They want to help you. And I couldn't get that through my head when I was in college. And so, like I said, when I go and give talks, it's like, open up. Don't be afraid to talk about something that you're going through, because you're never going to get through it if you don't get help.
And we are back now taking your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Let's check out Stetson. Sounds like a city or university, doesn't it? In Florida. Hey, Stetson, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. You were doing that promo on Willie Jackson, and it just struck a note with me about the black-white issue in Florida. And I was actually on the team in 74. I wasn't anything special at all. I was a walk-on punter. But there was a contentious thing that was going on everywhere with the black-white issues, but it did not. It was not in the football program anywhere. We were like brothers. And there was... I started out on the Little Rock football team that was an all-black team. And we all just loved each other. And to see the Willie Jackson thing just strikes a note with me, and I love thinking about it. I live thinking back with Wes Chandler being on the team, who went on to be a superstar. Don Gaffney was on the team, our first black quarterback ever at University of Florida. There was not a problem with that in the locker room or on the field. And I'm glad that you put that on the air about Willie Jackson and that Leonard guy that I don't know that is, I don't know, just kind of touches my heart because I was part of it.
Stetson, thank you for sharing that, and you take care of yourself. I appreciate you calling, and I think you're right. I had the opportunity about 7 or 8 years ago to host an event at the famed 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, and it was a collection of Auburn and Alabama players who played at that moment in time when the color barrier was broken. And to listen to the stories, I heard exactly what you said, Stetson, repeated by players on Alabama, Auburn, white, black. It really didn't matter. They all said the exact same thing. And I think that's what makes athletics so interesting and important for young people from the earliest age, is that it's one of the few things, and maybe the only thing, in society where we don't see it for any, and the military, I hope, and I think is the same, where you only see the person next to your left or and to your right as your brother and your friend. You don't see color. Thank you for sharing that. That was very important. Jay is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Jay. Thank you very much.
Hello, Paul. How you doing?
We are well. Thank you.
My dad was a Methodist minister, and normally we moved in June, but my junior year in high school, we moved in the middle of the year to a little town in northwest Louisiana, Haynesville. And the interesting thing about Haynesville, the people got the notice in, I think, 68, two schools were going to be integrated, and that the first year of integration in 1977, the Haynesville football team won a state title. They went in 71 and won a state title, and together they've won 14 state titles after integration. Now, I found out recently that the Woodson High School was named for Dr. Carter G. Woodson, who was responsible, he was a historian, who was responsible for launching Negro History Week, which later became Black History Month. And he attended Harvard University, University of Chicago, has written many books. And what's always intrigued me was the fact that those kids, first year of integration, won a state title and had won 14. Now, total, Haynesville's won 17 and is second in the all-time list of number of titles won. And Woodson High School won 3 state titles, and it's on the list. So I thought it was interesting, that, and I wanted to call and let you know.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I think it's always an important issue. I think as we wrap up the month of February, we have dedicated probably not enough time to that, you know, this being Black History Month. But I think young people today need to hear what happened back then. I know we hear a lot about what's happening today, which is necessary, but that's quite extraordinary. Thank you for the call. I remember those days very well as a young person. We are going to head to the break. We will talk to Eric Musselman in the final hour, the head coach at the University of Arkansas, who's having a spectacular year, coming off of the win against Alabama. Tim May, good friend of ours from Columbus, Ohio, has covered Ohio State for, I think, about 150 years, and he's still doing it. He'll tell us about, do the Buckeyes still have a team after Alabama ran through them on that, in the national championship? We'll talk about that in the Big Ten and college football when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back here on a Friday afternoon, the month of February coming to a close, spring football beginning to start in a lot of places, and once the weather gets better, maybe even in the Big Ten. Tim May joining us. I had the opportunity to join Tim on his well-listened-to podcast this weekend. And Tim, my first question is, after my appearance, do you still have a podcast? Has it been canceled?
No, as a matter of fact, it's blowing up, Paul. We're trying to get the wraps around it right now to keep shrapnel from going everywhere. But, I always appreciate you coming on my podcast, my man. You, like I intro'd you and promoted you, you may not like what you say, but you always say what you want to say, and that's what I like about you.
Tim's got one of the most unique backgrounds. He grew up in Alabama and then spent how many years covering the Buckeyes for the Columbus paper?
I was born in Alabama 11 years. We moved to Texas when I was 11 years old. I moved up here when I was 22, so I had 11 in Alabama. Living in a hotbed of football in Texas, Lufkin, Texas, home of Dez Bryant, and then moved up here in 76. So I covered Ohio State for the Columbus Dispatch 30-something years, and now I've been adding my offerings with LettermanRow.com since I semi-retired a couple of years ago. So I've been around for a long time, Paul.
Tim, does anyone ever completely retire from covering college football?
No, not really. You know, I would think if you're sitting on the couch and you're watching, because I've got a big 75-inch screen now, upgraded a couple of months ago, and you can actually see the game better at home than you can sitting in the press box, as you well know. Because, like I said many times, once they enlarged Ohio Stadium again a decade or two ago, the press box moved up about 25 feet, and it wasn't that bad except when the blimp went in front of it, and you couldn't see anymore. I think you're always one way or the other armchair quarterbacking. Don't you agree?
Yeah. By the way, I don't mean to go old school here, but I'd love nothing more than a guy that spent his long, nearly 40 years in the newspaper business, and every industry changes. I've been at ESPN almost 8 years, and the world of media has changed dramatically just in that fairly brief period, but. How different was it on your last day on the beat than it was on day one when you were covering the Buckeyes way back when?
There was no such thing as Twitter, the internet, or anything like that back in 1984 when I first started covering Ohio State. You know, I was a sports writer for 45 years because I was at the Lufkin News for 3 years as the youngest sports editor in the state of Texas before I moved north. But I digress. But the bottom line was, you know, the only worry I had was I was working for an afternoon newspaper then, in you know, when I first started covering the Buckeyes, we were an afternoon newspaper, the Columbus Dispatch, and there was a morning paper, the Citizen Journal, and whenever you had a scoop, you were just scared to death it was going to be in the morning paper before you got to have it in your own paper. And that was the biggest worry back then. Now, you know, if you're a minute late, you know, you're you know, you might as well be 2014.
No, it is so interesting. And by the way, when I was in Shreveport briefly, I do not remember his name, but the Lufkin paper had a very well-known editor, and I met him.
Joe Murray.
Yeah.
Joe Murray.
Right.
Yeah, he won the Pulitzer Prize.
Exactly.
He and this reporter way back in the mid-70s when I was there. My role in that Pulitzer Prize was when the guy came in with this news story he wanted covered, I pointed him to the reporter that should cover it. That's how close I came to a Pulitzer Prize, Paul.
Yeah, I'm still working on my first, but I'm sure I'll get there eventually. Tim, but covering a school like Ohio State, I mean, it's mammoth. I mean, and you know, back then, you may have had the opportunity to because I did the same thing. I mean, you could zip in and out of coaches' offices. You know, maybe not always the head coach, but I mean, I lived in certain assistant coaches' offices, and these guys would tell you a lot. By the time you ended the beat after 45 years in the newspaper business, would they even let you in the building?
No, well, hell no, definitely not last year, as you all know. And then, Paul, that's been the biggest, you know, disappointment. It may not be the right word, but like I said, there was only a couple of us at practice every day. And, you know, I'd throw footballs on the sideline sometimes at Ohio State practice where they'd get going with a couple of buddies of mine from TV land, and we're still big friends. But, yeah, that's the difference. I mean, I used to sit and watch video with Lovie Smith, you know, and different coaches. And just, you know, you learned about the game then, but you also, it's amazing the scoops you got, you know what I mean, from just being around people all the time. And, you know, like I said, I not only knew all the players' names, I knew most of their kids' names, you know, which is a very intimate knowledge of the players. But now, yeah, my big famous story was when they redid the Woody Hayes Athletic Center and expanded it a little bit, they had this counter with the Heisman trophies sitting in it right where the players exited from their locker room every day. And I would lean up against the Heisman trophy counter and just shoot the bull with everybody who came out the door, you know. And, of course, it didn't make for a great family life for me, but I was there. Like I told John Cooper, I saw him more often than I saw my wife during football season. That was a God's honest truth. But now, yeah, I mean, you know, since the Internet and everything, and everybody can be a reporter, whether they are or not, I mean, just right on down the line, I mean, it's just changed. And I understand why they put up some of the guardrails they put up. You don't like it, but you understand it, you know, because it's crazy what people write. Sometimes it's not even true.
Tim, I'll get to the contemporary Ohio State for a second, but you mentioned a number of different coaches, but what was it like covering Urban Meyer on a daily basis?
He was, you know, that basically under the Jim Tressel regime is when they had to start kind of shutting the doors a little bit, because they had a situation one time where a guy came into practice early in the Tressel regime. That's just when the Internet was really starting to cook in the early 2000s. And he documented every what I'm getting to here, I'm giving you just a little rejoinder. He documented every formation they ran, the plays they ran out of it one day in practice, and that was the end of that. You know, that was the end of open practices. But under Urban's, you know, practices weren't open except for a couple, three or four a year. But if I ever needed something from Urban, from a, you know, whatever you want to call it, an answer, et cetera, I could always text him, and sooner or later he'd always text me back. And I think that's one of the great things now is somebody doesn't have to answer the phone to necessarily get your message and get back to you. But, you know, he was tough on occasion. But my famous line about Urban is you never want to ask him a question you didn't want to know the answer to, because he was at least going to give you his answer to something. And he was usually pretty straightforward with stuff. And I know the reputation he had out there with some guys and reporters and stuff, but I never really caught the man fibbing on me. So that's the only way I can explain it, you know. He was not as personable, let's put it that way, as lovey-dovey as John Cooper. I'd sit and John Cooper's office all the time and just shoot the bull. And we had a lot of good conversations and stuff about all kinds of things. But he never really had a lot of those with Urban. And but Urban, with that said, Urban was going 24/7, man. You know, he is quite the intense individual. That's why you and I discussed that on my podcast this week about what kind of pro coach he'll be. You think he's going to have a tough time of it? I think he might surprise people because, you know, he's a great, what I call, what did Frederick Douglass say, agitate, agitate, agitate. He's one of those guys, man. He doesn't want to know what you've done. He wants to know what you're doing and where you're going to get better. And so with that said, he was tough sometimes to cover, but whenever I needed a real answer to something, he always got back to me.
That's interesting. How would you compare that to what Buckeye fans are getting now with Ryan Day?
It's not really a fair comparison at this point because last season was a season like no other.
Right.
If I have something from Ryan Day, though, I can always text him. He'll always get back to me and stuff. But, you know, we haven't really gotten to see much of these guys at all. I mean, you know, there may be a few players on Ohio State's roster right now I might not even recognize if they walked up to me, you know, because you just haven't been able to be around the players for like a year and a half now, and it's been really tough. But Ryan is, you know, I don't know, he's an interesting mix because he's quite personable, but he's quite intense, and he doesn't, just like Urban, he does not like to lose at all. Not that he throws hissy fits about it, but he doesn't like to lose at all. And it's been still a little bit of a honeymoon period more than anything else because, you know, he made the playoffs two straight years, lost against Clemson in the opener 2 years ago, and then beat Clemson this year, finally got the Clemson monkey off their back, and then got beat by Alabama. But, you know, he's had about as good a start as you can have as a head coach. So the honeymoon period is still kind of there, I think, in a lot of ways.
How has the reaction been since the Alabama game? Or did most people – didn't seem like it here, but I mean, you lost to one of the best teams we've seen in college football in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. It's hard to gauge how – you know, it's almost like a Ohio State fans were rooting for victory, but reality was that was a hell of a team they were playing, you know. And then when you find out, like we talked about, when you find out a couple of Ohio State dealt with COVID, small COVID outbreaks throughout the last 2 months of the year, of the season, and really affected them in that championship game, only because they lost two of their really key players, not necessarily their best players, but two of their key players in Tommy Togiai had to miss that game. And then, like I said, that lost a player. What I meant to say was, you know, Trey Sermon, their running back who really blossomed the last month of the year, suffered a broken collarbone the first play from scrimmage in that game. And that really changed offensively and defensively what Ohio State was going to be about. But I think the Ohio State fans kind of took it with a grain of salt, that loss. You know, I mean, it's just amazing. They went from like one of the great moments in school history. That victory over Clemson was as thorough a bowl victory as Ohio State has ever had in history. And then you get bumped exactly the same way by Alabama. I think they were just glad to get one out of two. Obviously weren't satisfied with that, but I'm kind of hemming and hawing here because really I haven't heard a whole lot of outrage except maybe the way they tried to play defense in that game. Most people didn't agree with that and things like that, but you know, Ryan Day's already sort of addressing that with his staff. I mean, so we'll see what changes come into play this coming year. But you know, they never did really get a chance to get their feet under them defensively, especially mainly in the defensive secondary last year, and it really showed in that game against Alabama.
Tim, one last question about that before you go. I'm remember the reports came out. There were a number of media outlets who were suggesting that maybe that game would have to be postponed. Can you give us any insight on that conversation, and did it ever get close?
I was under the impression, because obviously I'm not into like reporting what other people report. It's not necessarily factual. And I was under the impression that that game was never seriously in doubt in that regard. You know, you never knew what the next day's tests were going to bring, because the Big Ten and Ohio State, they tested every day, unlike some schools and conferences. But I was never, because I kept asking my people, you know, the people I trust, the people I've known, you know, forever at Ohio State and gotten to know, and they were never indicating that that game was in jeopardy. I know what the reports were, but I never got that impression at all.
Very interesting. Tim May from Letterman Row, the host of what else? The Tim May podcast. And Tim, I hope you'll come back.
Paul Feinbaum. Paul Feinbaum. Go ahead.
I look forward to the next time. I look forward to the next time you're back on the program. All the best, and great to have you here.
Hey, tell my cousin Doug I said hi, would you? Appreciate it.
I will.
Thanks, man.
Tim May spent 45 years in the newspaper business, most of that in Ohio. Still claims a cousin in Alabama. We will take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And Eric Musselman, the head coach of the University of Arkansas, he'll join us in about 30 minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We are back and glad you are with us on a Friday afternoon. Eric Musselman, the head coach at the University of Arkansas, the basketball team that beat Alabama the other night, will join us. Coming up here at the top of the next hour. Until then, we will take your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And let's check out Kyle, who is in Houston. Good afternoon, Kyle.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Hope you are.
I'm doing great. I just wanted to see, how do you think the Hogs are going to do during March Madness? And where do you see us ranked after this weekend?
I feel really good about this team, and I'm trying to remember, where did Lenardi have them as a – was it a five seed? Is that right? I think they're at a five seed position. The seed right now is all that matters. So I know everyone wants to see a good ranking, but you know your projection for the tournament is going to dictate everything. I think there are not many teams hotter than Arkansas right now, so I do not see a reason why this is going to change as long as everybody stays healthy.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Paul. Very much. Yeah, we'll talk to Coach in a minute. We'll ask him what he thinks. Coaches love to talk about the tournament when they have another week and a half of the regular season plus the conference tournament. Let's check out Clark, who is in Dallas. Hey, Clark, go right ahead.
How you doing, Paul?
Hey there.
Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Listen, you were talking about great announcers to listen to on the radio.
Right.
I date back to the old Southwest Conference, and there was an announcer by the name of Kern Tipps, who was the best that there ever was. Back in the 50s and 60s.
What school did he do?
Oh, he did, in the old days, he only had one game a week, so he didn't do a school, he did the whole Southwest
Conference. Oh, okay, so it was like the Southwest Conference radio network?
Right, right. Yeah, but he only got to see one game, well, he only had one game a week on.
You know, I know, Clark, I can relate to it a little bit, but, yeah, I mean, the idea that there was one game on radio, and then as we got into the 60s and 70s, there was essentially one game on television as well. It's just amazing when you think about where we are right now.
Oh, it is. It is. The guys who did the TV play-by-play, the radio play-by-play were just so good, you know, telling you that. Describing the picture and everything.
Well, and Clark, I know young people go, what's all this fascination with with radio, which you have to remember, and we alluded to it a minute ago, there was limited television, so radio was a critical part of everyone's life. Families literally sat around a radio, whether they were listening to entertainment or a sporting event. And that's how, you know, baseball particularly became so big on radio, because it was something that you had literally every night of the week. And, you know, it's just, I mean, I remember going over to my grandmother's house as a kid on Saturday, and she wasn't listening to football or basketball. She was listening to the Metropolitan Opera. It was on every Saturday afternoon. And you know, I'm not trying to say that, I mean, today is great. You can dial up anything you want. We all consume that. But sports was a little bit different. And when television evolved, you know, if you lived in Dallas, you knew a lot about the Big Ten, because there was a Big Ten game on one Saturday, maybe the SEC the next, and maybe the following week was the Oklahoma-Texas game. But it was so limiting that you had to pay attention.
Oh, yes. We didn't have a lot of choice in those days, what we get to watch.
No. And by the way, thank you for the call. That's why television audiences were so enormous, because you had three networks, and then on radio, you didn't have very many choices either. There was not satellite radio and podcasts and, you know, dial up the Texas game on my phone. The broadcasters were I don't want to diminish the importance of broadcasters today. Obviously, I work at a company that employs thousands, but you had a personal relationship with the play-by-play announcer then. That's all you knew, and it became a very interesting and close relationship, even though most of us never met the people. Thanks for the call. Really do appreciate it. Patrick is in Kentucky. Hey, Patrick, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
I am well. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I was. I enjoyed your conversation with Joe Lenardi, and I study his bracketology religiously every Tuesday and Friday. I was just going to see, who do you think is going to win the national championship? Because, like, Baylor, I've been thinking Baylor most of the year, but honestly, Michigan's starting to get in that top tier. Obviously, Gonzaga's there. So I just wanted to hear your thoughts on.
Yeah, I am fascinated by Gonzaga. I thought they were probably going to win last year, and they may be better this year. So I'm really it's not a dramatic pick. Sometimes people hate obvious picks, but, I mean, I think there are a number of teams – that are capable of getting to the Final Four, but frankly, if I had to put down my allowance every week, I would put it on Gonzaga. Mitch is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, Mr. Paul. Is it pouring down up here?
It seems like it's raining all over the world.
I swear, every Friday it has to rain down here on Spartanburg. I have to do something that I'm probably going to have to wash my mouth out with Lye soap after I do it. But Nick Saban proved again why he is the best coach.
Why's that?
Flipped.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know where you're going here.
We had him last week.
Yeah, what Mitch is talking about, and you know, we have certain limitations here in terms of naming players that haven't signed. But
sorry,
no, that's okay. Neither one of us are going to get put in jail over this. But there is a great player out there. Where is he from? Is he from Tennessee? Is that right?
He's from Tennessee. Yeah,
yeah. He's from Tennessee, and he was. It looks like he's a five-star top player out there for the
last Friday. He was going to commit
for the 22 class, and he. He had said he was going to Clemson. Tennessee was in on him trying to get him, and Alabama and Clemson. And today he went on Twitter and said, I'm going to Alabama.
No, he went on air on CBS.
Oh, okay. Well, I apologize. I'm not aware of the local networks there. But
yes, that turkey flipped.
So what did he say, since I wasn't able to watch it? I just saw his tweet.
As soon as he flipped, I turned it off. When he put that hat on, I said, "You know what?"
Okay, so he did he do it? I didn't realize that was that he had made that. I just thought
considering him the number two quarterback in that
Okay.
The 2022, because he just got his five star. And he was supposed to announce last Friday, but he said that he was postponed because of weather. And all week long, I've been reading on 247 Sports that Nick Saban has been working him. And sure enough, Nick got him.
Well, it happens that way, Mitch. Hey, Mitch, listen, I want you to take a deep breath and get over this, okay?
I will.
I mean, I don't want to – I know I'm going to offend, like, the entire audience here because we all live and die, but there comes a point in one's life when we should not live or die off of what a 17-year-old kid decides to do in terms of college. Maybe
– No, I'm pointing out this is what makes Nick so good.
Well – I tell you who may be responsible for flipping him. Do you know who it is?
They said O'Brien.
Yeah,
too.
Bill O'Brien, the new offensive coordinator at Alabama, is being given
Bill O'Brien up.
Is being given the credit for making the difference. And why not? He spent a lot of time with a former Clemson player, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to say, that's just another example of what.
Well, Mitch, don't give up. Don't give up hope. Clemson has two national championships.
Wait a minute, no, I didn't say that.
Now, when Clemson wins another one, I have no. It won't be. It may not be anytime soon. Mitch, thanks for the call. We're up against a break, and we are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And welcome back. Eric Musselman joining us in a moment, the head coach at Arkansas, coming off the big win over Alabama. Let's get back to the calls. And David is in Columbus, Ohio. Hello, David.
Hello, Paul. Good talking to you. I've been an Alabama fan since 1976.
Wow.
My grandfather played quarterback at Ohio State, so I got a little skin in the game, lived here all my life. Don't let Tim May fool you. The people here in Columbus are still steaming over that loss to Alabama.
I'm glad to hear that. I've always had a strong distrust of Tim May, and now it's even stronger.
There was no doubt about it. I have neighbors all around me, rabid Buckeye fans. They haven't talked to me yet. So I know how bad it is when you come to a
Well, David, it's funny. I've got a neighbor here that the day after, 2 days after Alabama lost to Ohio State, at the end of the 2014 season, he couldn't wait to like walk over. And you're right. I haven't. He walks the other way when I'm around the neighborhood with the dog. So I wondered if it was just me or if that's all Buckeye fans.
No, that's all Buckeye fans. They're as rabid and crazy as you come. But it's been good talking to you.
Well, thank
good
you.
Luck. Love your show.
Well, that's nice of you to say. I really do appreciate it. Let's see if I can get one more in here. And Bama Nick, always good to hear from you.
Hey, it's always great, Feinbaum, to get on your show. Look, I was wanting to talk about Mitch's call about Ty Simpson committing to Alabama.
Right.
It was. I mean, you know, Mitch got a little bit of the stats off.
Well, first of all, Simpson, I mean, let's be clear here. He has committed. He has not signed, okay?
That's right, Paul. He's a five-star. He's from Martin, Tennessee. 6'2", right. 185, pro-style quarterback. Another thing, Paul, I want to ask you something else.
Shoot.
The Alabama quarterback room coming into this year. Paul Tyson, Bryce Young, and we got that quarterback from Katy, Texas,
right.
Jalen Milroe. Who do you think's going to win the job, Paul?
Well, I'd probably go with Bryce Young, but I've heard incredibly good things about Paul Tyson. I've heard he has had he has shown tremendous improvement. So I think he will make it interesting. I've been a big fan of his since he was in high school. Up against a break, the head coach at the University of Arkansas, right around the corner, Eric Musselman.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.